Thank you all for coming. I assume everyone knows it's in English, hopefully. Not a surprise. So today I'm going to talk mainly about the projects I've done while I've been here. It's been a really productive time. It's been really wonderful to be here. I wear a few different hats. I'm a writer, a translator, an editor. I also teach translation mainly and also writing. But I see all of these things as very much intertwined, and I think the projects that I've been working on while I'm here demonstrate that. So first I'm going to start with my translation work. So while I was here, I finished the first draft of a book by Ana Cristina Sazer, who you see up on the screen. Ana Cristina is considered one of Brazil's most influential poets, but she hasn't really been translated much in the U.S. She's mainly been translated into French and Spanish. Though last year, her first book was was translated in the U.S. It's her last collection of poetry, which in English is called At Your Feet, and that was translated by Brenda Hillman. But that's the only book right now that is in the U.S. So Ana is known as Ana C in Brazil. It was kind of an identity she cultivated for herself. She'd sign off on all her letters as like Ana C. And her friends would call her Ana or Ana Cristina. And I grew up hearing her as Ana and Ana Cristina because my parents were friends with her. So I kind of have this kind of familiar relationship with her, even though I've never met her. So I'm going to be referring to her as Ana and Ana Cristina throughout the presentation. So she was born and raised in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. She published her poetry mainly in the 1970s and the early 1980s. And she was also working as a translator and a literary critic. And for her, all of those aspects were very important to her, and she also saw them as intertwined. She translated mainly poets like Emily Dickinson and Sylvia Plath, and she also translated Catherine Mansfield, who was a big obsession of hers. And she often would draw from her translation work and her own poetry. So she called herself a vampire, like she would steal work from other people and absorb it, though she wouldn't actually steal it, but you know. As you see, she died young. She was born in 1952, died in 1983. She committed suicide when she was 31. She just struggled with depression throughout her whole life. But she did publish a lot in a short time span. Her first book of poetry she published in 1979, called Cenas de Abril, or April Scenes. And then the same year she published Correspondência Completa, the Complete Correspondence, which is a very tongue-in-cheek project because it's just one letter. So it's not the complete correspondence of anyone. But she really played with the letter form, which is something I'll bring up over the course of the presentation. Then in 1980, she published Luvas Pelica, Kid Gloves, and that's the book I translated. And then her last collection of poetry is At Teus Pés, At Your Feet, which is the collection that was translated last year in the U.S. So the first three books she actually self-published, which was very typical of her generation. She was working during the military dictatorship years of Brazil, which were from 1964 to 1985. And she was part of this group of poets known as the Poetas Marginais, or the marginal poets. And they were distributing their work a lot in flyers and zines, and they kind of just wanted control over their own work. And in part, this was to avoid censorship, but it was also to have more control over their work. They were kind of protesting against a literary market that they found very conservative and that hadn't quite embraced a new kind of poetry yet. So that's kind of the context that she was working in. She very much identified with this group of poets. She was friends with them, but her work was a little bit different than theirs. So their poetry was very all about wordplay and was very much against literary tradition, whereas Ana wasn't so against literary tradition. She, in fact, drew on a lot of literary tradition in her work. As I said, she borrowed from other poets in her work, but she did embrace the spirit of the Poetas Marginais, which was to make poetry freer and looser and about the everyday and about your personal life. And she was also one of the first women poets to kind of be audacious in her writing style. She used slang, she talked about her sex life, you know, just things that were not touched upon, really, in poetry, especially by women. So here's the first page of the Complete Correspondence, the book I said that's just one letter. And you'll see that it's, you know, very much framed as a letter. It starts with, "My dear," and she would often throw in English words and French words in her writing. And I bring this slide up because I think what's most distinct about Anna's writing is that it resembles letters and that it resembles diary entries. And, you know, this is like a more obvious example, but she does draw on this form in her other work, and especially in the book that I'm translating. And in her, a few months before she died, she gave a talk to a class of university students and shared with them that her journey as a writer began as a young girl writing in her diary. And then slowly she started to experiment with poetry. But then her poetry started to sound like her diary, and her diary started to sound like her poetry, and she was like, soon they were just the same thing, which I find very interesting. And in the same talk, she says, "What is it about diaries and correspondence? I believe that in the personal lives of everyone, the diary and correspondence, the diary and letter, is the most immediate kind of writing we have." So these thoughts are pretty crucial to my own project, and not only because the book Kid Gloves draws on the diary and the letter, but because I'm also translating her letters that she sent to my mother. So on the left is Anna Krishtina, and on the right is my mother. Both photos were taken by my father. So Anna met my parents when they were living in Paris, and she was living in England. And so whenever she would come to Paris, she'd stay with my parents. And you'll see that they're both wearing the same dress. So Anna borrowed my mother's dress while she was in Paris. And I guess, yeah, and then my dad took a photo of her. And then on the right is my mother, who at this point was already living in Beirut. And they moved there about a year after they met Anna. And this is the period when the two of them corresponded most intensely, when my mother was living in Beirut. So those are the letters I'm working with. So yeah, I grew up hearing of Anna mostly as my parents' friend.